One important part of Christmas, like it or not, is gift giving. And some of us might be done with the getting of gifts and wrapping them. Others might be just starting to do that. Some procrastinate. Some are last minute people. I just thank God for the last minute, because if it wasn't God creating the last minute, we'd all be sunk, wouldn't we? And so we often, this Christmas time, have so much to do. It's a wonderful time, but not only is it a wonderful time, but it's an tiring time there. Every Christmas, retailers count on Christmas sales a lot, because Christmas presents give retailers somewhere around 20% of their total revenue for the year. It's estimated that Americans are going to spend more than $465 billion on presents this year. That's a lot of presents. There was a survey. It asked people this question: who's your favorite people to buy Christmas gifts for? You can guess who topped the list, and it was children, especially their own. What amazed me is that dead last on the list of favorite people to buy Christmas presents for was dear old dad. 70% of people said children, 2% said dads. The last few weeks, we've looked at the story about the coming of the wise men, found in Matthew chapter 2. We saw that the wise man, or the magi, traveled over 1,000 miles through the desert from Persia to find the one born king of the Jews. And then once they found him, the Bible tells us that they did two things. The first thing they did was they bowed down in worship to the king of the Jews. And then after they did that first, then they gave their gifts. And the order is important, because we must always bow in worship first before our service, before our gifts. And we do that every Sunday. We bow in worship to the Savior. That we call this worship service. But it's not the only time that we can worship God. We should be involved in worshiping God every single day. We should be bowing to Him as we get into His Word and in prayer, worshiping Him, because He is King of the Jews. And as King of the Jews, He's our Savior. And He came and saved you and me. So they bowed down and worshiped Him and gave three gifts to the king: the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We learned that the three gifts were prophetically emblematic of both who and what the child would do in his life. Who he was and what he would do, represented in those three gifts. But the greatest gift that the world has ever been given, and it was given to us by God. And what's so sad about this is this gift that was given by God to the whole world, there are many in the world that don't know anything about the gift. They've never even had the opportunity to take it or not take it, because they've never even heard about the gift. And now and then, even in America, we run across people, even though it's on the radio, even though it's all around us at Christmas time, even though the secular society sings many of these great Christmas songs, even the current classic of Mary Did You Know, which has great words of the baby being the great I Am, and being God and doing miracles. And even I hear that being sung by the secular society, and I think, aren't they listening to the words? Don't they hear the words of that song as they sing it? And so the greatest gift that the world has ever been given is given by God. And the cool thing about that gift is it's absolutely free. We have been given the job to tell people about the gift, to ask him first, do you know about the gift? Have you ever heard about God's greatest gift? And if they say yes, then ask them what it is. You know, what is the gift? Or if they haven't, can I share you with you about the greatest gift that God has ever given us? And this gift is free. There's nothing you have to do to earn it. You don't have to change anything in your life to receive it. Ephesians 2:8 says it like this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." What is the gift of salvation that Christmas is all about? We find the answer in the Christmas story. For it says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11, "An angel of the Lord said to the shepherds out on the fields," remember this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a great teacher." Is that what it says? How about, well, a good moral leader, a moral example? No, doesn't say that either. It says a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, was born. That's the gift. God gave a Savior to the entire world. And it's given as a gift, a free gift. And God paid the price for that gift. And God says, here it is. Would you offer this gift to a world? And maybe a world that's never heard. Maybe a neighbor that's never heard. He gives it to us to do that. So this says, if our passage says, that God sent a gift to the world, and that gift is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. That's what he offers. He offers the world the opportunity to have all of their sins forgiven and to be given the gift of eternal life so they can live in heaven with him forever. The Bible says, you know what it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, not even one, not even you, not even me. We're sinners. It's our sin that separates us from God. So here's the holy God. He's described in the Bible as light. And here we are, sinners, and sin is described as darkness. You can't have both at the same place. You can't have light and darkness in the same room, the same place, or the same heart. So it's our sin, our disobedience, and our rebellion that separates us from God. So here we are, there God is over there, and in between's our sin. And it's because of that, God can't fellowship with us. God, we can't be in his presence, because you can't have light and darkness in the same room, right? So how could you ever have it in heaven? So it's our sin that separates us from God. And so here we are, separated from God because of our sin. Because God is light and we're dark. God is holy, we're not. But God loves us with all of his heart. And God wants to fellowship with us. God wants to have a relationship with his created ones. But sin gets in the way. So imagine you're God and you're holy and you love these people over here, but they're sinful. So because of that sin, you can't go over there and fellowship with them or be with them. But you love them. So God, who can do anything and knows everything, came up with a perfect plan to solve that problem. The problem that he has with the whole world, with all of mankind, including you and me. He gave the plan in a verse that we already said on the screen. Now we have it once again. And it's John 3:16, and many of you have memorized it. And it says, for God so loved the world of mankind that he gave as his gift his only son, or a savior, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God came up with a plan to solve the problem, and it was his son. He sent his son to die on a cross for you as your substitute, so that you can be forgiven and cleansed of all your sin. That's the good news. That is an unbelievable gift of God, is it not? That you can go to him and have cleansing of all your sin and forgiveness and given this eternal life with him forever, and you don't have to earn it, you don't have to do anything for it. It's all you have to do is receive it. See, that's the one thing about a gift. I can buy you a great, what if I went out and bought you a brand new car and I said it's yours and it's all paid for. By the way, you don't deserve it because you're a bum. But I'm giving it to you out of grace and mercy and love. Here it is, paid for. What would you have to do? You'd have to take the keys, get in the car, and drive it away. And that's exactly what we have to do with this gift that God has offered the whole world, and he's offered it to you and me, is that we have to receive the gift of salvation. You must take the gift that's offered. And many won't do that. Many, they don't want to hear about the gift. Or, that's too good to be true. They don't believe that God offers the gift. They don't believe in the message of Christmas. They don't believe that Christ came to be Savior of the world. And sometimes they say, yeah, I believe that, but I don't believe he'll save me. I'm too dark and sinful. I've done too much stuff. And the Bible says he even took your sin and my sin, all of it, on himself on the cross. He bore all of our sin. And because God is so holy, no sin is more worse than any other sin. Sometimes we think that way, but it's not. Jesus Christ died for us. It says this in John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus Christ paid for your sin with his shed blood. It's a gift that's been fully paid for. But you must, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, and receive him as your personal Savior from sin. Have you ever prayed a prayer, something like this? Can you think back? Yeah, I've prayed that prayer and I meant it from my heart. Lord, I am a sinner and need to be forgiven. Please, Lord, forgive me. Be my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and change me. Come into my life and guide me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope there was a time in your life when you turned from your sin and prayed a prayer something like that. Because if not, you can do it right now this Christmas time, 2015. You can receive the free gift of salvation. And I would encourage you, if you haven't, that you would. And you can do it right where you're sitting. You can bow your head. Confess that you're a sinner to God. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and give you that great gift of eternal life. And you can do it now, right this moment. And if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do that. Or if maybe you're thinking right now, well, I'm not so sure. I just don't know for sure if I'm a child of God. If I've become one of God's children, as it says in John 1:12. If all of my sins are forgiven. Listen, to have all of our sins forgiven and to be cleansed of all unrighteousness does not mean now we live a perfect life. Because we don't live a perfect life. We still stumble and fall into sin. But what do we do with that sin? We take it to God, our Father, and acknowledge it to Him. Because He promises that He is a forgiving God. You want to know why? Because that sin, even the one you'll commit tomorrow, was already laid on His Son on the cross, given to Him. It's so cool to think your garment of sin and darkness and rebellion and hurts and hang-ups and addictions, that garment, at the point of salvation, you took it off. You recognized you had it on. You took it off and placed it on Jesus Christ. He wore your garment of sin on the cross. But He did something else that's amazing. Not only did He take your garment of sin, but He turned right around and took His garment of perfection, His garment of righteousness, His perfect life. And He said, Bill, here, put mine on. And we're clothed in His righteousness. That's why we're qualified to go to heaven. That's salvation. That's what happens when you receive Christ as Savior. If you haven't, you need to do it. You need to accept that gift by faith. You don't have to understand it all. You just need to reach out with the hand of faith and say, that's what I want, and take it as your own. And so that's the greatest gift that was ever given, and it was given to the whole world. That's why we send missionaries across the oceans to share that message. That's why there are people all around our country, in our nation, and even our city, that are sharing the message with others. Well, as one who's received the gift years ago, I wonder, well, I want to love Him back as He loved me. But how can I love Him back? What gift could I give someone that really does have everything? And that's God. What could I give Him as appreciation from a thankful heart of what He did for me? What could I give Him as a gift at Christmas time? Because remember, Christmas is a time of giving and receiving. And so we've received the greatest gift ever. Well, now I want to give Him something back this Christmas time. I want to answer that question for us this morning by telling the story of the fourth wise man. Now, the story of the fourth wise man is not a true story. It's a fable. So you're not going to find it in your Bible, so don't try to find it. But the story is an amazing, powerful story. The writer of the story gave names to the wise men. Caspar, Melchior, Balthasar, and then the fourth one, Artaban. The fourth wise man set out to follow the star just like the other guys did. And he himself had three gifts with him to give to the king. He had a sapphire, he had a ruby, and he had a pearl of great price. And he wanted to give all of them to the newborn king. Artaban was a procrastinator a little bit. And so he left to follow the stars, but he left a little late. And so as a result of that, he was riding hard on his camel to make it to the place that the three friends and him agreed on where they were going to meet. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthasar, they were to meet at a certain place at a certain time. But they said this, Artaban, don't be late, because if you're late, we're not waiting for you. Because they felt time was drawing short. So as he hurried along, trying to make up lost time, he noticed, up ahead, there was someone who was lying on the ground. And as he got closer, he realized that it was a traveler who fell sick on his journey and was lying there with a very high fever. Now, if he stopped to help this guy, it would make him even more late. He would miss his friends. If he didn't stop, the guy was so sick that he would probably not survive. He would die. So Artaban, out of compassion, stopped. And he helped and stayed with the fella until he got better. And as a result of that, he arrived late. He missed his friends. He even missed the caravan that he was supposed to be a part of for the journey. He was very sad because he treasured the very moment that he would see the king and offer him the gifts. So he took his sapphire, bought everything that he needed for the journey through the desert, and he was on his way. As he set out on this long journey through the desert, and finally in time, he came to the little village of Bethlehem. But once again, he found that he was late. Mary, Joseph, and the baby were gone. He couldn't find them anywhere. He couldn't even find out where they had went. So as he was there, wondering what to do, soldiers came. And they were carrying out a horrible order that was given by Herod. They were commanded to kill all the male children 2 years old and under. Artaban was staying at a house where there was a little boy child that he had come very fond of. And when he heard the arrival of the soldiers at the door of the house, and he could hear the weeping and wailing of many mothers throughout the city, Artaban stood in the doorway with his ruby in his hand. And when the captain of the soldiers came to the door, he bribed him with his ruby, asking him, please don't enter this house. So that little child was saved, and the mother was overjoyed. But poor Artaban, he was sad, because he wanted to offer that ruby as a gift to the king, but now it was gone. Now he had only one left, the pearl of great price. For years, Artaban kept looking for the king. It was now more than 30 years later. He still had his final and third gift to give to the king. He'd been carrying it with him all this time. And one day he arrived in Jerusalem. There was a crucifixion taking place that day. And Artaban heard that this Jesus who was being crucified was called the King of the Jews. His search was now over. He had finally found him. And maybe, he thought, I can take my pearl of great price and buy back the life of my king and then set him free. As he was walking towards Calvary, towards those three crosses out on the hillside, a little girl came running from a band of soldiers, crying out, "Sir, sir, help me, my father is in debt, and they're coming to take me and sell me as a slave to pay off his debt. Please help. Please save me." She fell down on her knees before Artaban. Artaban hesitated for a moment. And then sadly, he took out his pearl and he gave it to the soldiers, paid off the debt, and bought the girl's freedom. She was now safe. She could now go back home to her father. Then all of a sudden, there was darkness at midday. And a great earthquake took place, causing flying debris from a nearby building that hit Artaban on the head, causing him to fall to the ground. He was half conscious, and the little girl ran over and pillowed his head on her lap. And suddenly his lips began to move, and he quietly and silently and sadly said, "Not so, Lord. For when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did I see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did I see you sick or in prison and come to visit you? For 33 years I have been looking for you, my Lord, and I have never seen your face. When have I ever ministered to you, my King? See, I am now empty-handed, with nothing to give you." He says this as tears fill his eyes, as he's pillowed in the lap of this little girl. And then, like a whisper from a faraway place, low and sweet, came a voice that said, "Truly, I say to you, Artaban, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And Artaban smiled in death because he knew that the king had indeed received his gifts. Christmas truly is a time of giving and receiving. And you can receive the free gift of salvation that God offers you right now at this time, at this place. See, the choice is yours. And you can turn from your sin and believe in your heart that Christ died for you and rose again the third day and receive Him, that special gift, into your life and into your heart. And then once you've received the free gift of salvation, you can now give Him something. You can turn right around and offer a gift back to Him. And you know what it is? It's the same gifts that the wise men gave. First and foremost, you can offer Him your worship. You can worship Him on Sundays, gathering together as His people, and you can worship Him every day in a quiet place at home. You can worship Him. And then you can give Him your service. You give Him your service by taking what God has blessed you with, your gifts and your talents and your stuff, whatever it might be. And you take all of that and you use it to help and benefit others, especially other believers in Christ. That's how we give Him a gift, by loving others and helping others, especially other Christians. Let me close with this thought. Remember, when you're together on Christmas Day, at Christmas time, with family and friends. Those that are believers in Christ that you're with, children, parents, whoever they might be. The text in Matthew 25 says this, the way you treat them, those other Christians, those other believers in Christ who may be friends or family, is the same way you treat Christ Himself. And so this Christmas time, be kind and be gentle and be loving towards all those that you're with, no matter who they are, no matter what they're like, especially those who are part of the family of God. Because Jesus said, the way you treat them is the way you treat me. And so if you're harsh, unloving toward another brother or sister in Christ, you are being harsh and unloving toward Jesus Christ Himself. Because see, that's how we give Him our gifts, as we love one another. Father, we so thank You for this just amazing, powerful fable that we read of the fourth wise man. And really, that fourth wise man is each one of us here who know the King, know the Savior. And Father, we pray that You would help us to treat one another as You treat us. Help us to treat others knowing that we're treating You that same way. Help us not to forget that. Help us to hide this simple little biblical principle down deep in our hearts, that it might help govern our actions, our reactions, especially at the Christmas time when we're with family and friends. And so, Father, we just commit this story and this message to You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What we're going to do is we're going to close.